I've got a standard password.
All right, Kevin, ready to go? Bonnie, you ready to roll?
I am.
All right. Good morning, folks. This is Commissioner Brian Colquhoun meeting in the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It's October 10th, approximately 10 o'clock for our regular scheduled commission meeting. Before I guess we start the meeting, I open up my colleagues to have any opening comments.
Good morning and welcome.
Same here.
All right, thank you very much. This morning, actually, we have a commission organization motion first. We had a work session a couple weeks ago, the commissioners, and we talked about how we could better, combine some of the business operation functions. So that's the purpose of this motion. So therefore, I move the commission consolidate the administrative portfolio, technology portfolio, and the accounting functions into a business operations portfolio. I further move the commission portfolios be allocated as follows. Commissioner Kalk, business operations, electric generation and transmission, telecommunication and pipeline safety. Commissioner Kramer, mining and pipelines. Commissioner Fetch, gas and electric distribution, licensing to include grain and auctioneers, railroads, weights and measures.
Second. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. That concludes the organization part of this meeting, and we'll proceed to the regular, I guess we have items on consent.
I would move passage of consent.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Just a note for those out there in the listening audience, we had a variety of items on consent today, and there was a lot of them that, closed the books in some cases we've been working on for several years on, I just forgot the term I'm looking for here, trade secret protection. And the second thing, we had a variety of contracts that were issued for post-construction inspections. So good work to all the staff involved in getting those things done. It really, really turned out very well. So with that, we'll move to the regular agenda. Item BK1. I move the commission deem the application complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in the application of Montana Dakota Utility Company for a certificate of site compatibility to construct a proposed 88-megawatt simple cycle combustion turbine in Morton County, case number PU1163.
Second.
In November of 2011, MDU, a division of MDU Resources, filed the application for the certificate of site compatibility to authorize and construct the 88-megawatt natural gas simple cycle combustion turbine to be located at the Heskett Generation Plant in Morton County. A public hearing and the application is scheduled to begin December 4th, 2012, 9 a.m. at the City Commission Meeting Room in Mandan.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, item BK2. I move the Commission adopt the order granting Missouri Valley Communication Inc.'s request for a waiver of months to exhaust utilization threshold requirement so as to obtain three blocks of 1,000 numbers from the number pool at the Williston Rate Center, case number PU12685.
Second.
In August of this year, Missouri Valley submitted an application to New Star Pooling Administration System, the North Dakota Number Pooling Administrator, for additional numbering resources consisting of a new NXX out of the Williston, North Dakota Rate Center. Newstar denied the request, saying the company did not meet the FCC requirement of months to exhaust. So therefore, in August of this year, they filed a request to waiver for this commission. In this particular case, the company first asked for 10,000 numbers, and working Pat Fawn and staff working back and forth with them, they refiled the application to 5,000 numbers. Pat and staff did a very good job, working with what their actual requirement was. So this today actually is going to approve a block of three 1,000 numbers, and they're going to use primarily to meet future business needs. And I think it all makes sense, but it just shows, I think, that the growth in the Williston area is affecting a lot of different things. And I suspect they'll use this numbering block very well.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Item BK3. I move the commission find the October 1st, 2012 complaint filed by the North Dakota Public Service Commission advocacy staff states a prima facie case and serve the complaint on the respondent, Pacific Telecom Communications Group, Inc., case number PU12750.
Second.
This particular case, is very interesting. Not that the other ones aren't interesting, but in this case, Pacific Telecom is a company based out of California, and our advocacy staff became aware that this group has had their license revoked in Oregon. So right away that caused, once our staff became aware of it, they did some due diligence and research and got copies of, in fact, their license was revoked in Oregon. And further review, it looks like in North Dakota they have not, they failed to comply with registration requirements for North Dakota law. And also we've had complaints that there's been some questionable practices by this company using the 701 area code. So therefore, I strongly agree that this state's a prima facie case, and if this motion passes, then we'll go ahead and schedule a hearing, and we'll see how this all plays out. But this is, you know, this is one of the challenges of, you know, the way the law continues to evolve, that folks can use 701 area codes and do business out of all over the United States.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item BK4. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing concerning the proposed access price schedules, the switched access price schedules of Dickey Rural Telephone Cooperative, case number PU12762.
Second.
In October of this year, Dickey Rural filed with the North Dakota PSC a updated switch access price schedules for a variety of formatting, texting, and rate revisions. Interested parties can submit their comments in writing. Anyone requesting a hearing needs to do so by close of business November 23rd, 2012.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I believe that concludes the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. I just have one, KC1. I move the commission accept the Federal Office of Surface Mining's 2012 evaluation reports for the coal regulatory and abandoned mine lands programs.
Second.
And why wouldn't we? And here to accept the trophy is Dean. you know, there are some traditions that are just worth keeping, aren't there? And anyway, so every year about this time we get an evaluation from the United States Department of the Interior, the Office of Surface Mining, after their thorough evaluation of the program here that we administer at the Public Service Commission. Those of us on the 12th floor like to take credit for the good work of those on the 13th floor. And the reality is that what it really demonstrates is a good relationship not only between our regulators at the state level and the federal level, but also the mining companies. I want to just read a few highlights. First, from the coal reclamation program. This is word for word right out of the Department of the Interior's evaluation. The North Dakota Public Service Commission continues to administer an efficient and successful coal regulatory program as set forth in Section 102 of SMACRA, that is to say Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act. The North Dakota Public Service Commission has a very good working relationship with their customers that include industry, landowners, citizen groups, and other governmental agencies, including the Office of Surface Mining. The Reclamation Division carries out its duties with a high level of professionalism, and I agree. The North Dakota Public Service Commission continues to conduct frequent and thorough inspections. I'm just going to jump right to the conclusion here, and it is worth, I think, taking some time to both read and absorb. Based on the topics evaluated this year, North Dakota has a very effective program with no major issues that need corrective action. The North Dakota Public Service Commission actively pursues public participation and outreach efforts. The North Dakota Public Service Commission employees demonstrate a high level of technical expertise and take advantage of Office of Surface Mining and other training opportunities. They also make use of the latest tools and technology. During the year, no off-site impact occurred. Reclamation is occurring as contemporaneously as possible. North Dakota Public Service Commission does an excellent job of collecting and tracking the data necessary to accurately track and assess reclamation success, as well as the contemporaneous nature of that reclamation. Customer service efforts have been demonstrated to be appropriate and scientifically sound. The state conducts the appropriate number of inspections, and those inspections are thorough and complete. Congratulations to the staff again, to the mining companies as well, and well done. Now, if it sounds like deja vu, let me just read a few things from the Department of the Interior's evaluation of the Abandoned Mine Lands Program as well. In fact, let's just go right to the conclusion. They sum it up rather nicely. The Office of Surface Mining has completed its evaluation of topics specified. The topics include overall reclamation success, AML emergency investigations and abatement efforts, AML grant fiscal and administrative controls, integration with AMLIS, and public outreach. And I could take a lot of time to go through some of the specifics of those and be happy to if you had questions about it. But the work that the AML division does is really so important to the continued safety of so many of our citizens and livestock, the efficient use of not just pastures but croplands as well as highways and homes. And here's the summary wrapped up at the very end. Overall, the North Dakota Public Service Commission has performed its duties admirably and has adhered to its AML reclamation plan. The North Dakota Public Service Commission is recognized by the Office of Surface Mining for the performance and quality of its work. Again, congratulations to the employees that do such a great job. Thank you to the mining companies who pay into the fund to the federal level and provide this opportunity for us to reclaim lands that were pre-reclamation laws. So, good work, everybody. Congratulations to my fellow commissioners as well. Once again, we haven't screwed it up.
The day is young.
It's
you know, I'd like to add to that, if I may. I had the opportunity to go out with one of our inspectors about a week and a half or so ago, and on an inspection of the center mine at the BNI mine at center. And it was a very long day. I got to see all phases of reclamation, and I now understand what grade approvals are, what spoil piles are, and the importance of those, and even contour maps make sense. So it was a very thorough inspection. I said, you know, I'm just along for the ride, which was, by the way, extremely bumpy.
Yeah.
And I wanted him to conduct an inspection as if I were not there. And he did, and I didn't feel bad about not keeping up with him when he was out walking, because neither could the mine people. Anyway, it was very interesting. I've got to see the inspection, learn a lot, and I was very impressed.
You can see why it's so important that the reclamation program remain with the state and not be handed over to the federal government. Not that they couldn't do an okay job of it, I suppose, but I doubt they could do it as efficiently as ours. One of the things that the evaluation always points out every year is how small our staff is. Given the number of acres, I think we're at about 118,000 acres under permit right now. You know, the small staff that we have, the staff per acres is remarkable compared to, say, a place like Texas that has about three times or four times as many employees as we have, and maybe twice as much land. It's really quite remarkable. So I appreciate the good work they do.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That ends the items in my portfolio.
All right, perfect. Commissioner Fitch.
Thank you, and I only have one item in my portfolio, and it's a routine item. This is Senex Harvest States Incorporated, case number GE-12688. I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-12688, granting the request of CHS Incorporated of St. Paul, Minnesota, to operate as a facility-based grain buyer at Grafton, North Dakota.
Second.
CHS filed a license application to operate as a facility-based grain buyer at Grafton. The facilities that will be operated under this license are leased from St. Hilaire Seed Company and are physically disconnected from the grain warehouse that St. Hilaire Seed Company licenses. Therefore, they will need to establish a license. Statutory compliance has been met, and staff recommends the request be approved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that completes my portfolio. But, Chairman, if I could give just an update on grain storage capacity.
We would look forward to it.
Thank you. Dave, you might be interested in some of these figures. since August 1, staff has approved 40,240,000 bushels of storage, with the majority of the bushels being ground storage. And currently, in state facilities, that's bunker and ground storage, we currently have 41,423,000 bushels. I believe the last update, there were a lot of requests coming in, and those are starting to taper off now. But you can see, that's a lot of grain storage, ground storage.
Okay, thank
That's
you.
That's all I have.
So. All right, thank you. Just a couple admin notes before we open up for questions. Next regularly scheduled commission meeting would be October 24th. And then an admin note looking out quite a ways. We had a meeting November 14th scheduled, but that's also the week of NARUC. So we're going to have a Friday, November 9th meeting and then not have one until November 28th. So just a note for folks, we didn't catch that when we scheduled the meeting for the NARUC, so that seemed like a reasonable change. And then coming forward, we have an informal this afternoon. We had a formal hearing scheduled between AT&T and WiMAX for October 18th. One of the items on consent was to accept the AT&T's request to withdraw that. Apparently, they've worked out their disagreements, so that hearing will not be taking place at this time. We do have a formal hearing scheduled October 22nd on NSP ADP for Geronimo Wind application. And October 31st, we'll be hearing the case on PSC Shores complaint, actually the staff complaint against them on potential violations of one call. So with that, I would be happy to open up for any questions.
I'm just curious, 41 million bushels of grain stored on the ground. What's the current license storage capacity of everything then?
Sue, do you have that figure?
I'd say around 400 million bushels, okay. I suppose.
So about a tenth. Approximately stored on the ground.
I was thinking that. But now, that 400 million would include both state and federal.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we have three. Yeah.
I think it's 419,000 is what it actually is.
Okay.
Million.
It's still
419
million.
Million?
Yeah. But that's a good catch. I mean, yeah, about 10% of the storage capacity is on the ground. What's happened this year is it's an unusual year in that, first of all, to the surprise of many, as dry as it is, they're having a bumper crop year. And some of that's due to the fact they got into the fields early. Some of it's due to the fact that there was a lot of moisture in the ground to start with. A year from now, if it continues this dry, it will not be the case, I assure you. But one of the more unusual things is that so much of the crop has come in at the same time. You have wheat harvest and corn harvest and bean harvest, and a lot of things are moving at the same time. And it's created some stress, frankly, on the elevators because they're used to moving the products sort of in segments. And this year they're being challenged to move a lot of the products to market at the same time because you have good prices and good crops. So it's an unusual year in the grain marketing industry for sure.
And I've had some meetings with CP and BN as well that obviously there are different rail cars, the oil and what moves the commodities, but there's been some scheduling challenges on some of the tracks in certain areas to make sure they get the cars in place. So it's a perfect storm for the increased ground storage. And I think even before the ground storage increased, it still was the largest number that the PSC had ever approved for in-facility storage, I believe. So it's an interesting year to be sure.
All right. On the prima facie case,
BK, the Pacific Telecom.
You've got to explain what's going on here.
I will do my best, Dave. Our staff became aware that the Pacific Telecom's license had been revoked in Oregon. So we received a phone call, if you will, that had happened. So our staff contacted the group in Oregon and asked for official documentation that this, in fact, had taken place. So their license has been revoked in Oregon. And looking at what they filed in North Dakota, they have failed to update their registration in North Dakota. So right there, that's a potential violation. So today will cause them to be notified and see what's going on. We've also, Scott Sheldon with our Consumer Affairs has received phone calls from people alleging that the 701 area code is being used by this company for questionable practices. And really, that's all that we know at this time.
Would one of the questionable practices be calling people saying that early voting is not permitted in North Dakota?
My understanding, and Scott, if you're out there, I think most of it, this is dealing with credit type of applications. So the calls that we received have been about credit cards and those kind of things, to mind, nothing dealing with elections.
All right. So you'll set a hearing on this, or at least
we'll notify
serve them with papers.
Serve them with papers, and then they'll come back with something. And I would imagine we would set a hearing date as soon as possible.
About the turbine then, the 88 megawatt, first this natural gas turbine, by them applying for a site, you know, a siting process, have they now met all the other requirements that are for permits? Do you know?
I don't think we know that quite yet. We did go through an ADP in this case, and we granted the ADP. So I think when we get to the actual hearing, that's when we'll find out where all the permits are in place. But that's typically one of the provisions of our order, but I don't not know if they've met all the requirements yet.
We've issued the permit for advanced determination of prudence. We've determined advanced prudence. We've also issued a certificate of public convenience and necessity. They own the 14.9 acres that the site will be on because it's adjacent, of course, to the existing site. So what other permits are required right there, you know, in terms of environmental permits and whatnot, we'll certainly find out at the hearing. The other thing that's pending, of course, is that there will have to be a gas pipeline that serves, you know, that serves the gas to it. And we know roughly where that's going to go, but that'll be a separate siting case.
The air quality permits, I'm not sure about that, but as I think about that a little bit, that probably hasn't been done yet. Just things like that that might be hard to issue until they get more details.
Their schedule is such that they want to begin construction in the second quarter of next year and have it operational by the first quarter of 2015. So it's a decent schedule, fairly aggressive schedule.
Have you been contacted or are you hearing any rumblings from other utilities who may be looking at natural gas production like to this scale or maybe even larger?
I haven't heard a lot, but frankly, I would very much like to see consideration be given to a peaking natural gas turbine of some sort in the Fargo-Grand Forks area. We don't have any generation in that area. We know that over the course of recent years, there have been some reliability challenges. There are going to be some, you know, as we know, new transmission lines built into the eastern part of North Dakota to shore up reliability. I think a very nice complement to that would be a very nice gas processing or gas turbine in that vicinity. It would provide jobs. It would create opportunities, but it also shores up the reliability of the system in eastern North Dakota. And considering that we have so much natural gas in North Dakota, we also know, of course, there's probably going to have to be a gas line built to deliver gas to that facility at the Spiritwood Energy Park that will be making nitrogen. And so perhaps there's some opportunity there to grow capacity and fill that capacity with domestic North Dakota gas while providing this incredible opportunity for a reliable system.
One of the things that I've seen, Dave, is as I get more involved in the MISO planning and transmission and a lot of the wind turbines have the interconnection getting into the grid. And when the wind's not blowing, that interconnection is not being used. So I've heard a lot of discussion out there that you could combine the natural gas with the wind and share the same interconnection. So it'd actually be a very good setup. So I know that several of the companies are looking at that. I mean, Basin Electric is requested for some natural gas plants out in the Williston area. There's still a big delta of shortage of power in the northwestern part of the state of at least 1,500 megawatts. It might be bigger. So the near-term answer is really natural gas. So I think we're going to see a lot of that, and we've seen lots of natural gas processing plants come into the commission, and we've just had one come in last week that I think those will continue as well. Okay. Anything else for the good of the commission? All right. With that, we'll close the meeting.
Thank you.